Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Is that a good place for that? Okay. So let's start out this morning by, if you will, reciting this Metta Sutra, which is just passed out to you. Metta Sutra. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing gladness and safety. May all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life a child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So today, this morning, I'm going to talk about practicing with metta, or loving kindness meditation. I have recently taken up the way of doing loving kindness meditation. And I've been doing it for myself. I've taken the instructions of some of our experienced Western Vipassana teachers, decided to start with myself and just do that for a month. I find that very challenging, however, just to do it for myself. It's easier in a sense for me to do it for others. So it's a challenge. I think it's a good challenge. So I want to talk about metta, or loving kindness. Scholars of the Pali Canon, some of them don't like the phrase loving kindness. They say that metta, which comes from the root word mita, is translated as friend. And also the term gentle, so gentle friend. And so we'll still use the word loving kindness, and when we do a guided meditation together, we'll say loving kindness. But it's really about unbounded or vast friendliness, a friendliness that encompasses all and leaves out none, and starts with ourselves. So, you know, I plan to start out by talking about kind of how it is for us to see what's happening in the world. You know, sometimes the world appears to be a very chaotic and scary, sometimes violent, sometimes unsafe kind of a place. You know, if we just watch the news and we see what's happening, we can easily have that view of the world. And certainly that exists, suffering caused by delusion, by hatred, by ill will. And we see that. And also we can see some of that in ourselves, you know, when we go deep into sitting practice. We go deep into Dharma practice. We get in touch with some of those, what they call the kalesas or kleshas. There's a lot of different variations of those, you know, and I won't go into them, but you probably know, you know, our deep-seated prejudice, racism, just aversion, you know, just our aversion. And I'm a big one for aversion. I'm really averse myself. I have to practice with my no. I often, people come up with a new idea for a program we should offer at Sense Center. My first thought is no. And then I have to turn to someone like Bouchot, Martin, because his first thought is yes. And then we can help kind of balance each other out there and do what's a positive but realistic, realistically positive. So in the Dhammapada, the Buddha says, hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is an ancient and eternal law. An ancient and eternal law. I think most of us realize that safety is not obtained by going to war or by stockpiling weapons. Aggression of any kind actually breeds more aggression. I think that... we can see that. We can see that in the world. And also if we look inside, we can see that inside ourselves. So that if we let ill will or aversion or anger become a habit, then, you know, we kind of become our habits, you know. It's easier to act out those things. So practicing loving kindness or unlimited friendliness, boundless friendliness, is protective. It's actually a very protective practice for us. It protects us from those mind states. So, let's see. I want to talk about different aspects of metta. I'm going to use metta. One of them is that, and I've been learning this. I've been doing reading, so I'm just learning along with you. I haven't practiced. I've been practicing Zazen, just sitting, for many years. And now I'm going back to wanting to ground myself in loving kindness practice and the practice of the other Brahma Viharas. So what I've been learning about is that from both the neuropsychologists and Buddhist teachers is that metta, loving kindness or boundless friendliness, is hardwired in us. It's actually hardwired in the same way that greed, anger, and ignorance rise endlessly. We have the innate capacity to manifest loving kindness, unlimited friendliness. You know, the scientists now can do brain scans on meditators and on nuns, on virtually anyone who's had a long-term contemplative practice, and see actual changes in the brain. And one of the things that I kind of think of is that Rick Hansen says, he's a neuropsychologist, is that neurons that fire together wire together. So that when we call up, when we suffuse ourselves with loving kindness and then extend that out, we're building an actual brain capacity, neural capacity that supports our consciousness. It affects our consciousness. Loving kindness or unlimited friendliness can become a way of seeing the world. In Zen and in Vipassana, you often hear that insight or seeing into reality, right, is the most important thing about our practice. It's the most important thing to realize is insight into what? No self, emptiness, non-duality, things as they are. But just seeing may not be enough. It may be important for us to learn to incline the mind in a certain way, to suffuse our minds, our heart minds, with specific qualities. We can start by having no aversion to what we see. So when we look out at the world and we see a lot of suffering, we see a lot of things that aren't right, that's really how we are too. You know, we're projecting our reality out there. So working from the inside out on our reality, wishing ourselves happiness, wishing ourselves peace, wishing ourselves ease, helps us to see the world in a more balanced way. On the way over here, driving over here, I looked around and I thought, you know, things are working pretty well in this world, you know. Things are pretty well organized around here, you know. This looks like a pretty peaceful community here that's functioning well. So important is not only being able to see and be with the suffering in the world, but to see what's good about it, to see what's right about it, and to see what's right and good about ourselves, to build that, befriend ourselves. Let's see. So it's also a skillful means. Cultivating metta or loving kindness is a skillful means. It's a practice. It's something we can cultivate. The Buddha used a lot of agricultural metaphors, and so he talked about cultivation, bhavana, cultivation, preparing the ground. So we're preparing the ground of the heart mind so that all of the other Brahma viharas can bloom. So loving kindness leads to the bloom of compassion, which leads to action in the world, the ability to act, the ability to go out there in whatever way you do, whatever way I do, to bring compassion, more compassion to the world. Katagiri Roshi, one of the turning phrases that he used that I think of often was, let the flower of your life force bloom. I've said this before, you've heard it before. But that's really what happens when loving kindness or metta is cultivated, and out of that blooms compassion. And then compassion turns into action, right action, based on right view, that of the emptiness of all things. Let's see. So here's something I didn't know that I learned recently, that in one of the oldest of the texts, Buddhist texts that predates the Majjhima Nikaya and the Digha Nikaya, the Sutta Nipata, the Buddha says, there's no better way to live in this world and no better path to realization. So most of us don't see the practice of metta or the Brahma Viharas as a path to realization. It's sort of parked away on the side altar, you know. It's chanted only on Saturdays. But according to the scholars, the Buddha put a lot of emphasis on the cultivation of metta and the other brahma viharas, or boundless abodes, as a path to realization. In the Anapanasati Sutra, the Buddha, referring to this, says, if he is happy, we could say she, but his mind will concentrate. It's easier to concentrate, to do concentration, meditation, or zazen, or shikantaza, or just sitting, when we have a baseline of well-being, when there isn't a lot of agitation coming up, right? So it's also a way, a skillful means for working with our own suffering. We come to this practice to relieve our suffering, right? Suffering exists, but we are able to work with it and to reduce it and to cultivate the wholesome. When we cultivate the wholesome and let go of the unwholesome, or you could use skillful or unskillful, then our suffering decreases. So suffusing the mind with loving kindness is protective, and it supports the sky-like nature of the mind. So metta, or loving kindness, is not subject to impermanence. It's like the sky, and the different clouds roll through the sky, right? The dark, stormy clouds, the fluffy, light, beautiful clouds, but the sky isn't disturbed. The sky doesn't prefer the white, fluffy clouds to the storm clouds. So the practice of metta develops that sky-like mind. I remember once going to see Katagiri Roshi with complaints. I had complaints, you know, and complaints, that's part of aversion. And talking to him about my complaints and about another person in the Sangha who is driving me completely crazy and didn't know what to do about it and what did he think. And he said, look up at the sky. You should just look up at the sky. Notice how beautiful it is. And I thought, well, that's not too practical. I was hoping he would tell me specifically how to deal with this person. But he didn't, you know. And I often reflect on that. Often. And I love looking at the sky now. I enjoy getting out to driving down to Hokkyoji where we live part-time, because there's so much sky to see there, you know. And I do find myself, when I need a break from the of a sense of contraction, you know, and sort of this feeling you get sometimes in the city with the buildings and claustrophobia, I do practice sky gazing practice. I recommend it. You can do it right out here, even out on the lake. It's a great thing to do during a session or a retreat when a lot of stuff's coming up for you and it feels like the thoughts are coming fast and furious. Is during the break, go out and just look at the sky. It's very helpful. So a close relative to friendliness, boundless friendliness, is gladness. Gladness. And taking in the good and cultivating gratitude both support the cultivation of metta. We hear that a lot nowadays. people telling us we should write down every day what we're grateful for. You know, it builds that sense of being filled with goodness. So we can find just one thing to be grateful for, even on the worst day. And also looking at someone who's difficult, another practice that helps develop metta, someone we find difficult in some way for us. We might have a hard time listening to them or being present with them. Who knows? Everyone has somebody like that in their life usually. Is to look for one good thing in that person and focus on that one good thing. It's another thing about Katagiri I'm remembering is that he never disparaged anyone, you know, and he always saw the good in everyone. And if we had trouble with someone in the Sangha, he encouraged us, you know, to help them, you know. They're having trouble, they're suffering. Help them, right? That's what he would encourage us to do. It's very helpful. Very helpful. A big part of cultivating, befriending all things, cultivating boundless friendliness is starting with befriending ourselves. Seeing that radiant heart, mind, that is our birthright in ourselves. The Zen phrase, your original face before you were born, is that radiant, radiant face. The face prior to conditioning, prior to splitting up the world. So that original face is our radiant inner goodness. But we have a hard time, some of us, including me, believing in that, in ourselves. When the Tibetan teachers and the Asian teachers first came over to our country, they were just horrified at the fact that there were a lot of Western students that hated themselves, or let's say, did not respect themselves. But yeah, self-hatred. They couldn't believe it. They just took it for granted that you started from a place of kindness for yourself. You know, seeing the good in yourself. Sharon Salzberg talks about how the Buddha, in his path, originally starved his body. And he put his body through all sorts of torturous practices, and the idea at that time was that would free the spirit, you know. And she says, sort of our counterpart to that today is that somehow we have this mixed up idea that if we're real hard on ourselves and down on ourselves, that will help us spiritually let go of ego or whatever. But that's really not helpful. Not helpful. So befriending ourselves. Here's a poem by Galway Kinnell? I'm not sure. He's an Irish poet. This is actually only part of the poem. The bud stands for all things, even for things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. Should I read that again? Okay. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch. It is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. So that's what we need to do, is to take in the good, bless ourselves from within, believe in our original face, our radiant nature, have confidence in it. Yesterday at Rosemary's, sitting with the sutras workshop, she read to us and gave us a poem of Katagiri Roshi's to contemplate. I'm probably not remembering it now, but I think he says, the phrase that I took was, "Yes, I can." Yes, I can. I can do it. I can practice. I can do this practice of self-blessing and taking in the good, so that I can then look at suffering, be with the suffering of my own and other people's, of the world itself, of the earth, without becoming overwhelmed. I still do become overwhelmed, but it's a practice. It's a practice. I'd like to have us do a guided meditation, if you will, if you're willing. And this is how we will end today, okay? All right, so just find a comfortable position and relax and close your eyes if you like. I'm just going to share with you what I do with my own practice, and then there'll be a chance for you to create your own words for yourself that fit you. So start with an intention for this practice, whether that is that you just want to sincerely enter into the practice itself, or whatever that is for you, something you'd like to cultivate. Let's start with calling to mind someone, a benefactor, a teacher, could be a grandparent, someone for whom extended you in your life unconditional friendliness, unconditional love. And just sit with that, the face of that person, and allow yourself to have a feeling of warmth and gratitude connected to them. Really feel that. Now just follow these phrases. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I have ease of body, mind, and spirit. May I be safe. May I be at peace. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I have ease of body, mind, and spirit. May I be safe. May I be at peace. Hmm. Notice any resistance to the phrases or the practice, and just let them go. You can create your own words, use your own words. May I be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. Noticing any feelings of unworthiness or judgment of the practice or yourself, just notice them. Just allow them the space and let them go. And now shift to just sitting, letting go of phrases, letting go of the practice, and just sit with the breath and the body. Okay, thank you. I do have one final thing to say, and that is that this is actually a powerful practice. It's not just sitting around thinking, wow, you know, I'd really like to be loving. I'd really like for all beings to feel at ease. It's really actually a very powerful practice, and it's actually harder than, in many ways, than just sitting and watching the breath and letting go of thought, because it requires an active participation. It's an active cultivation. So I hope that this was helpful, this talk, and that I've encouraged you to, if you'd like, to explore loving kindness as a practice, is a very powerful practice, and that to hardwire happiness into yourself so that's what I have to say today, and maybe we have a few minutes for comments or questions. Thanks for being here once again. You support each other. Your presence supports me so much. Thank you.
Concerning friendliness, I think I love this little stone. I think it's from the Kayas and Ananda. Shakyamuni Buddha is attending, commented to him one day and said, "Lord, I think the spiritual friends are half of what's most important to us in our spiritual practice." And the Buddha looked at him and said, say it not so, Ananda, say it not so. Spiritual friends are 100% of what's most important to us. A story dear to my heart.
Thank you. Good detail recall there. That's a great story.
I've been taking ginkgo lately.
Oh, where can I get some?
I would just, as a resource, Common Ground, the first Friday of every month, has a loving kindness meditation at 7 o'clock. So if someone wants to explore that further, they've been doing that for years and years. So
that's great. Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah. Hey, Kate.
I always tell people when I teach this practice that you start with yourself. It's the same principle as they tell you on the plane, the oxygen mask.
Right. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like if you can't take care of yourself, then you can't take care of others.
Yeah. It's good. Well, yeah. We can all relate to that.